This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Cast your mind back to the chat rooms and message boards of the ancient internet, places to connect communities of interest, from stamp collectors to much seedier types, to like-minded people from the world over. Then came the downsides, fears of kids getting lured in by strangers, and that millions flocking online to chat would kill face-to-face communication. As MySpace, Facebook, and Twitter declared the self to the world, those chat rooms receded until recently. Slack, GroupMe, WhatsApp, and a number of other apps are bringing chat back. Tech and culture writer Kyle Chayka wrote an article for Gizmodo defending chat, in fact, identifying chat circles as the only truly intimate online experience left. Kyle, great to have you back on Word of Mouth.
Thanks so much for having me.
So while use of texting and social media did skyrocket, online chats receded. Why did they fall out of fashion?
I think as the internet grew, we actually got opportunities to connect with a much larger group of people. So as we found Facebook and big social media platforms, we were so excited to reach, you know, hundreds and thousands of people instead of just a few close friends. But I think lately we've been understanding that that's also a risky experience to be that exposed in the world.
So it sounds like you've had some experience with chat. What is it now for you?
So I think chat right now for me is really a way to connect to the people I'm closest with. And it's become kind of a small online space for just a few close friends. And specifically, I have a GroupMe chat with just a few friends that we all use it on our phones and our computers. And this is just a little chat room, and it looks kind of like a text window almost. Mm-hmm. But we all can interact with each other. We can post emoji. We can like share photos. And it's just a lot of fun. It's a really nice way to share space with people online without having to be so exposed.
Yeah, I guess no one's watching, right?
Yeah, so it feels much more intimate, and I mean, personally, I feel much more able to, you know, share secrets or share feelings in that as opposed to Twitter, where it's obviously a much more public forum.
Well, I would welcome a place that's less snarky and, let's say, tacitly, sometimes overtly competitive, you know, than social media can be. But do you get to real conversations without being face-to-face?
I think you can. Chat online is obviously helped by having face-to-face experiences. But I think, and psychologists have found this as well, that within text-only chat spaces, you're actually more able to share things about yourself. And maybe that not having the burden of face-to-face interaction can help you be more intimate.
But you can also get it wrong, right? You know, that idea that you say something to someone and without a facial expression to follow it up, people can misinterpret.
They can definitely misinterpret, and text, I think, always has that danger. But I think if you grew up on the internet as I have and have enough experience and know the people you're talking to, it's pretty easy not to mess things up too badly. I think if you're trying to chat with strangers, you're not going to have as intimate or as close of an experience. But maybe that's what bigger social media platforms are for, is connecting with people you don't know. And then maybe someday you'll chat with them privately.
Well, you also mentioned, you mentioned GroupMe, also Slack you tried for the article, and WhatsApp. Something that I've used with people who live overseas, I guess it's texting without getting the text messaging charges. Any other advantage to WhatsApp?
Well, WhatsApp also has a variety of multimedia options that are a lot of fun. So you can share audio and you can, post various emoji. And it's kind of a richer experience than just text SMS messages.
Do you have to convince your friends to download these in order to use them, you know, to sort of expand your chat circle?
Yeah, I think you do. I mean, my GroupMe is very private, but there's a larger Slack that I'm in. And it's just sometimes you have to tell people what the advantages of those are or kind of show them what's going on before they actually want to be a part of it. Because everyone knows what text message is, but maybe group chat is a foreign experience now, even though it wasn't 10 years ago.
There's still the danger, of course, of whiling away many, many hours in these group chat rooms. And though you say it is safe and private and I guess, wouldn't nix the job interview or offer, you know, because there's no photos of you doing jello shots in your underwear or whatever. Yeah. You know, someone in one of your circles could, for whatever reason, get mad, want to prove a point, post those conversations, couldn't they?
Yeah, definitely. And actually, that process of sharing something that was supposed to be private has been recently called doxing. So if a friend tries to dox you, then they're sharing some kind of secret that you posted online with the wider world. So that risk is always there. And I think in group chat, you still have to trust the people you're sharing with mm-hmm. enough.
Never mind what the people behind Slack or WhatsApp or GroupMe might do with your archive chats. Any ideas?
Yeah, so I think you have to assume that these companies still have access to everything you're saying. So there's always the possibility that the government or some other entity could track through what you've said and kind of expose that. So I don't think you want to, you want to always be aware of that, as you should be on any online platform.
Mm-hmm. Well, Facebook just launched Rooms earlier this fall. There are other big social media companies trying to get some kind of, you know, chat room experience like Snapchat. Do you think that people are seeking and finding refuge online, or is this just, you know, sort of another reaction to public social media that's probably going to snap back the other way?
I think to some extent it is a pendulum, but I think lately, especially with surveillance news and things like Gamergate, which have kind of proven the negative side of public interaction online, that we are going out of our way to seek out small spaces and creating them for ourselves through group chat. And through, I mean, even on Facebook, if you choose to open a room, that's a smaller space, but you're still within this wider platform. So you can kind of have both worlds at once, which I think is a good thing.
How about, Kyle, that worry from way back that we will, if we keep using these kind of media, lose our ability to communicate face to face?
Well, I hope the two coexist. I think personally, I find that I've kind of developed two different fluencies. One is talking through group chat and interacting on social media. And the other is, you know, still maintaining those face-to-face relationships and making sure the two complement each other. So I think we always have to keep going out of our way to seek people out and see them in person. You know, these group chats are not going to ever be a substitute for real life.
That's the tech and culture writer, Kyle Chayka. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You can read Kyle's article, The Only Truly Intimate Online Experience Left, from Gizmodo. There's a link at our website, wordofmouthradio.org. Up next, from the mythical fountain of youth to modern-day anti-aging products, humans have long been charmed by the prospect of remaining forever young. But what if the key to a long and healthy life is actually located in our minds? Stay with us for the story of a psychologist who set out to reverse the aging process. That's when Word of Mouth returns after a short break.